Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your Brain Masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The anniversary of Roe v. Wade was remembered by the annual March for Life, and the churches displaying their little white crosses on their lawns, and then, of course, by the pro-death crowd in their own way. You know, I can't find a count of the number who showed up this year. I'm reading massive crowds, I'm reading tens of thousands, and then a spattering of the pro-choice side showed up. Maybe 100 or so, if that. It was cold, I understand, in the single digits. Yet pro-life advocates braved the chill to make their voice heard for those whose voice has been denied them. I mean, I ask you, how many of the babies in the womb that have been murdered in abortion do you think would have chosen that? You say this is about choice. Well, clearly it is not about choice for the baby that's murdered in the womb. One statement made by the pro-death crowd that caught my attention was offered by Elise Hoag. She's head of NARAL. That's the National Abortion Rights Action League. I believe that's what it is. It's a pro-choice organization here in America, probably the leading pro-choice organization here in America. She said that her organization was commemorating, quote, the anniversary of the decision that enshrined into law a woman's freedom to decide when, how, and with whom to have a family, end quote. The court gave women the right to decide when, how, and with whom to have a family? Okay, let's see if I get this. So the court's decision in Roe, you know, we have come to refer to that decision as Roe, as a sort of shorthand reference to that infamous decision. However, the woman identified as Roe in the case has since converted and become pro-life. You didn't know that? Yeah, first off, Roe is not her name, of course. We use Jane Roe for a stand-in name like we use John Doe for men. And they used Jane Roe in the suit in order to protect the identity of the woman whose case was used as a pretext to legalize abortions. Anyway, her real name is Norma McCorvey, and she has a sad story to tell. Her parents divorced when she was 13. She had run away from home, spent some time in a reform school, I understand, dropped out of high school, got married at 16, moved with her husband from Texas to California, and then returned home pregnant. And from what I gather in this, badly written article, she returned without her husband, I assume. Her mother took care of the baby out of Norma's hands, and then Norma went on with her life. And she comes up pregnant again. This time the father of that baby takes the care of the baby off of her hands, and off she goes again. And now in her third pregnancy, she decides to seek an abortion. The story gets a little muddled here because we understand she was approached by some nefarious lawyer types who were looking for a case they could use to push abortion rights into law because they knew they had a judge there that would do it for them. And so she was recruited to this end. So we don't know if she came up with the idea of aborting the child or if this was suggested to her. In either case, she became Jane Roe in the case that was filed in 1970 that led to the legalization of abortion in 1973. Well, obviously, she gave birth to the child she wanted to abort, since abortion wasn't made legal until 3 years later. And so she goes on to become very active in the pro-choice movement, working in these abortion clinics. Now, this will surprise you. Remember Operation Rescue? Caricatured by media as wild-eyed, angry, crazy types that stalk abortuaries and, you know, could break out into violence any moment. Those guys. Well, a headquarters for Operation Rescue moved in next door to an abortion clinic where Norma worked. And this was in 1995, by the way. She met an Operation Rescue preacher named Philip Benham. They became friends. And before too long, Norma received Christ as her Savior and was baptized. Soon thereafter, she turned away from her pro-choice position and adopted a sort of pro-life position. I say sort of because for a while there, she continued to support choice for the first trimester. but held that abortions ought to be illegal after that. I understand she's now come full circle and embraces life for the baby at every stage of its development from conception. And the point of all this is that we have come to call the case that legalized abortion by the name of the plaintiff, Roe, but Roe, who is the primary subject of the case, has repudiated the decision. Nevertheless, I think we should continue to refer to it as Roe, in shorthand, since that isn't her name, and since it was a class action suit on behalf of all women, which, according to Elise Hoag, head of NARAL, Pro-Choice America, quote, enshrined into law a woman's freedom to decide when, how, and with whom to have a family, end quote. Now, not to put any further burden upon our friend Norma McCorvey, but rather to present the very significant and relevant insight into this matter that her case and her story offers. Consider, and I'll use the Roe cognomen here for the same reasons it was used back then. Let's let our Roe represent, quote, all women similarly situated, end quote, which, by the way, is the actual language of the class action suit naming the plaintiff, which is what they usually do in a class action suit. But anyway, in this situation, I guess Roe had no choice to whom to marry. She married Elwood McCorvey and has kept his name. Now, it's too bad Blackman wasn't around earlier to have freed Roe to decide with whom to make a family. Poor Roe, she had no choice about whom to marry. She had to marry this guy, you see, because Blackman hadn't come along and given her the freedom to decide with whom to make a family. Well, then she got pregnant, and I don't think Roe ever claimed her husband raped her. Well, that was later, where she maintained the third pregnancy was the consequence of rape, but then later admitted that was a lie and that she thought might strengthen her case for abortion. So she was not raped. Man, if only Blackman had been there to make this decision for her and others similarly situated, you know, that would have allowed Roe the freedom to decide whether or not to have intercourse with her husband. I guess we can presume she intended to have intercourse with her husband when she married him. So then she gives that baby to her mother to rear and goes about the activity that leads to another pregnancy. And man, it's just, you know, it just happened, you know. How does this thing keep happening to her? What's the real deal here? You know, if only Blackman had been there to decide on the abortion law, then Roe would have had freedom to choose. But since Blackman was not on the court to lead that court to legalize abortion, poor Roe had no choice about whom to marry or with whom to make babies, or when to make them, by the way. You know, women didn't have that power of freedom of choice until Blackman decided to legalize abortion. Now, you think about this, and you see what I'm saying. Anyway, the care of that second baby was taken over by the father, and she went on about her business and got pregnant again, I assume by another guy. And she had no freedom of choice in this, you understand that? There was no freedom of choice on her part. She was not free to choose with whom she would engage in that activity that produces conception of human life. She had to sue the court, man, to get freedom to choose with whom and when and how she'd have a family. Yeah. Ms. Hoag said that the anniversary of Roe commemorates the day women were given the freedom to choose with whom, when, and how they will start a family or have a family. How? Families are started now the same way they've always been started before Roe was decided. You know, when a couple does the thing that produces the conception of a baby, you know, is there some other way to start a family I don't know about or to have one I don't know about? I mean, other than by adoption. But wait, no, adoption was an available option for Roe before the legalization of abortion. In fact, she used adoption as a solution to her problem with the third baby. Now, the first baby was turned over to her mother. The second one was taken over by the father. The third one she wanted to abort, but the case filed in 70, dragged on to 73, and so she ended up giving birth and then giving that baby up for adoption. Yeah, all of this is to say the pro-choice argument is empty rhetoric, vapid, insipid, but worse, empty rhetoric, deserted of anything like logic or even reason. It's hollow, vacant of an argument, absent of any substance, pure fluffy fandango. Can you believe this stuff? It's taken seriously by some people. This silly woman says that on this anniversary of the infamous decision to legalize abortion, that pro-choicers everywhere are celebrating the day that women were finally made free to choose when, how, and with whom to have a family. It's unbelievable. A major spokesperson for the Pro-Choice of Death crowd, leading what is arguably the largest pro-abortion advocacy organization in America, NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League, says that the decision to legalize abortion gave women the right to choose when, how, and with whom to have a baby, knowing she cannot possibly be this stupid. I mean, it's just not possible that she is not aware that women have always had the right to choose whom to marry. Now, I don't think arranged marriages ever took hold in this country, so far as I understand our history. Besides, certainly she knows that legalization of abortion does not address the question of arranged marriages, nor does it address the issue of a woman's right to choose whom she will marry, or, for that matter, with whom she will have intercourse. Do you agree with me that it's reasonable to assume that when Ms. Hoag said that the Blackmun decision to legalize abortion gave women the freedom to choose with whom to make a family, she did not mean that decision granted her the right to choose whom to marry, or with whom to engage in procreative activity? All right, good. Now, this next one's a bit tricky. Are we to assume that Ms. Hoag did actually mean to say that when Blackmun legalized abortion, he gave women the right to decide how to make a family? We know she could not have been talking about adoption because that was already an available option. We know she could not have been talking about intercourse because, well, that's obvious. Blackmun did not invent that, you know. It's been around for a good number of years, and so, no, Blackmun did not give women the freedom to decide how families are made. It's either by having babies or by adopting babies, and both of these options were already available before Roe. All I can figure is that she means to say Blackmun gave women the freedom to decide how large their family would be, and so on. Frankly, I think I'm helping her out here, because I'm convinced she is spewing out of her mouth something I'm laying some foundation for you to see clearly in a moment when I deliver the brain massage burst of insight moment you're waiting for. She also said that Blackmun's decision gave women the freedom to choose when they would start or have a family. So, before Blackmun, women did not have a choice in when they would start a family. Well, that's nonsense. Of course, women had the right and freedom to choose when they would start a family, and how has been pretty much set for a while now, and women have always had the freedom to decide with whom. And there is no way I can accept the idea that this woman really is so stupid she does not know that the Roe decision allowed doctors to prescribe and perform abortions. And by the way, according to Blackmun, the decision granted a right to doctors to prescribe abortions, not a right to women. It's a fine point, but it's one that's often missed. So anyway, let's look at this verbiage foam that has bubbled out of the mouth of this vile-hearted woman. We celebrate the anniversary of, quote, the decision that enshrined into law a woman's freedom to decide when, how, and with whom to have a family. Huh, okay. Now, I've pointed out the emptiness of this rhetoric, and I've run out of time for the first segment. We're going to examine the heart from which it spewed, coming right up. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Every corruption we see in our houses of government begin in our houses of worship. Christians begin departing from the founders of our faith and ignoring God's laws long before our politicians begin departing from our founders and ignoring the laws of our land. Revival must begin in the house of God with a return to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Enjoying your brain massage experience? Do you wish everyone could? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So, if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the Lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Churches have led our nation toward the ruin we face, and it's up to the churches to lead us back from destruction. God calls his people back to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church is inviting God's people to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to SantaMariaLighthouse.org for more information.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your...
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at The Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamp from the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The 41st anniversary of Roe v. Wade was remembered by tens of thousands on the National Mall chanting, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, abortion has got to go." I guess that's how they put it. I didn't get to hear it, but I just read it. And, "We love babies. Yes, we do. We love babies. How about you?" Along with a spattering of pro-choicers who showed up with their angry signs, "Keep your politics out of my blank." And, of course, the president. I guess that's what she is, of NARAL, snarled that her organization was commemorating, quote, "the anniversary of the decision that enshrined into law a woman's freedom to decide when, how, and with whom to have a family," end quote. That's Elise Hogue, head of NARAL, Pro-Choice America. Now, in the last segment, I commented on the emptiness of this rhetoric. The court gave women the right to decide when, how, with whom to have a family? Give me a break. Obviously, black men did not grant to women the freedom to decide with whom they would have a family. They've always had that freedom. He did not grant to them the freedom to decide how they would have a family. That's something God established at creation, and he revealed his approval of adoption. Nor did black men grant to women the freedom to decide when to have a family. They've always had that freedom. What black men did was decide to make it legal for a doctor to prescribe abortion to his female patients if they desired one. He legalized abortion as a medical procedure. So what is this gal from NARAL really saying? She is saying that giving women the freedom to have a pregnancy terminated empowers her to have sex without being sentenced to 9 months of pregnancy prison if she comes up pregnant. There it is. You know, because of course she can abstain from sexual activity if she chooses to, or she can use other means to avoid pregnancy that are readily available. So this really is not the issue when it comes to abortion. It's this: if a woman comes up pregnant and does not want to be pregnant, she should have the right to get a doctor to terminate that pregnancy. It's really not so much about the child in the womb of a pregnant woman, by the way. You see, a woman can put the child up for adoption. It comes down to this: hatred for the fact that a woman is, quote, sentenced, end quote, to 9 months or so of virtual imprisonment to a pregnancy. It's the pregnancy they hate. You see, the guys get to play around and then walk away, leaving the gal alone to struggle for 9 months of all sorts of physical issues that almost always ends up in an extremely painful ordeal that concludes with a crying baby. Now, you and I look at all this as a wonderful thing, an amazing thing, mysterious and marvelous, but these women, including B. Hussein Obama, see it as a sentence, you know, as in a judgment. Very interesting. They see it as a judgment. And they resent this judgment. They rail against it. They hate it. They rage against the idea that a woman must endure a pregnancy unwillingly. You see, through the words of this snarl, you can see the heart of the pro-abortionist movement. Through these words, you see anger, seething anger, a woman's freedom to decide, as if women were victims of an oppression, and the form of that oppression is pregnancy. That somehow pregnancy is a band, a chain upon women. Hear the raging against this oppression of nature that sentences a woman to 9 months of unwanted pregnancy. She should be able to play around with the intercourse thing like the guys do without worrying about being sentenced to 9 months of the inconvenience and then the trauma of hard labor, sometimes lasting hours. Grrr! Black men made women free from this, you see? Let's take a look at this, shall we? First, that bit about it being unfair, since men don't have to deal with pregnancy. Well, folks, you know what? I don't think men who impregnate women ought to walk free. They should be rounded up and forced to give that woman all the care she requires, or pay for it. And, by the way, pay all the medical bills. All of them. She doesn't pay a dime. He pays it all. And then, he should be forced to pay for the upbringing of the child while she provides the nurturing. He, and he alone, should bear all the financial costs related to the child he fathered. Period. I mean, the full weight of the law should fall on that character. He should pay up. Unless the child is adopted, then in that case, he needs to go away. He gets no rights of parentage unless he pays the dues of parenting. And if a woman has any special rights here, I would say they are in whether or not the baby is put up for adoption. If she does, the father can certainly take the baby into his own care. If he does not want to do that, then let the child be adopted by another family. But if the mother wants to keep that baby, daddy pays. Daddy pays. Oh yeah, That's right, you philandering piece of human puke. You fathered the baby, you pay. All right, let's get that settled, shall we? Because that's not where the issue is. The issue is that she has to carry the baby in her body for 9 months. She has to endure the inconvenience of all this. Again, it's not about the baby so much. She can choose to adopt the baby out. It's about the ordeal of pregnancy. Nature has ordained that she, and she alone, be the matrix out of which the procreated child will come into the world. If it was something that occurred in a day or maybe two and was no more painful than burping, and she could give it away to someone else immediately after it was burped into the world, well, no one would be clamoring for abortion. It's all about the pregnancy. It's about the whole 9 months of dealing with the whole deal here. The hot flashes, the mood swings, even the cravings, the big belly, the inconvenience of waddling about, you know, and having to deal with the whole maternity thing. Now, this seems odd to some of you because you think all of that is beautiful and natural. And part I do. And part of the process, you accept it. You even take pleasure in it. And with the husband right there, feeling the tummy for movement, and mom getting excited with the baby kicks. And of course, I realize after you've had a few, you know, some of this does somewhat assuage. But still, there is an excitement, even a hormonal euphoria you experience, ladies, through much of this. But there are some women who resent the idea that they have to go through all this rigmarole to have a baby, and a guy gets to just sit there and watch. Now, that's my point that I'm just about to deliver. Gets blunted by the feeling that I have oversimplified this. Allow me to take a moment and assure you that I have not. I realize a woman looking at the birth of a baby who has not the means to care for that child might be motivated to consider abortion as a way to avoid bringing a child into the world that they cannot afford. And yeah, and I know that some career-minded women might look at their pregnancy as interfering with their plans and their dreams. And of course, I don't think either of these or any of these sorts of things justify murdering a baby in the womb. And neither does any other reasonable person, of course. However, I want you to think about it. In either of these cases, adoption is certainly the more humane option and available, right? Of course, right. So at the end of the day, my point is, it's not about that. It's about pregnancy. The pregnancy that Obama said he would not want his children sentenced to. You know, actually, I think that inhuman monster said he would not want them sentenced to a baby. But my point stands, and the point is, at the bottom line, the reason abortion rights are so important to some of these people is that they resent being forced to deal with pregnancy. They rage against pregnancy. They even want to look at it like a sickness. They see it as a judgment. And now this will surprise you. It is in part exactly that.
Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert.
When Adam and Eve chose death in the garden, as part of the judgment that came upon them, God said to the woman, quote, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee," end quote, Genesis 3:16. You know, most of everything we see in the woman's movement today is an angry rebellion against a lot of what that verse just said. Isn't that interesting? I was gone last week, and so I wasn't in my pulpit last Sunday. I will be there this Sunday night, and at 6 o'clock Sunday night, I'll be addressing this whole thing more fully. Many consequences of sin have fallen on us from our first parents, death being the greatest of them. Bible thump alert, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, you see. Romans 5:12. But this also, that the woman would give birth in sorrow and travail. Instead of humbling themselves to this consequence of sin, the serpent inspires the hearts of these women to resent it. The children of disobedience are very sensitive to the issue of divine judgment. Oh, you've noticed it. For example, see how they get all stirred up and rail and rage if you suggest that HIV/AIDS is among those divinely appointed consequences to the sin of homosexuality God promised would come upon them in Romans chapter 1 and elsewhere. Whoa, they get all bent out of shape. But Romans 1 makes it very clear that is exactly what it is. And that, and not that only, but all sorts of evil diseases afflict these pitiful people who get tied up and wrapped up in this unnatural behavior. God help them. Well, isn't it interesting that the sorrow and travail associated with childbearing is something God said was going to be part of the consequences of sin? And unsaved, rebellious women of the spirit of the prince and the power of the air are especially angry about it, resent it, rail against it, and get totally irrational about it, and say ridiculous, empty things like legalization of abortion gave women the freedom to decide when, how, with whom they will have a family. And that's nonsense, of course, as I've already pointed out, but here is what legalized abortion does do. It defies the Creator's announcement that childbearing will be connected with sorrow and travail as a consequence of sin. And these women rage and shake their fist at the Creator and say, essentially this, I'll kill this baby before I'll submit to this judgment. But you don't evade the judgment. You're still plagued. Now, all kinds of problems come up with these women who are getting abortions. God help us. I mean, it's just like the devil to stir something like this up. Since, guess what? It is through childbearing that God says he will save the woman. Yeah, 1 Timothy 2:13 to 15. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. How about that? And because of her sin, childbearing would be with sorrow and travail. Yet God would turn that around and then through childbearing bring about her salvation. Isn't that wonderful? The important theological import of this aside, consider what it says to us about this whole thing. And then I'll be done for today, but I'll develop it more fully Sunday night at 6 p.m. Be there. Consider, God designed Adam and Eve to procreate, obviously. They sinned before they had any children, and this sin impacted all of creation, by the way. The Bible indicating that all of creation groans in travail because of man's sin. And the interesting connection between God's creation generally and mankind particularly is something I'm going to touch on Sunday night. Part of this travailing and sorrow that entered the world because of man's sin afflicts the woman in a particular way. They will have sorrow and travail in childbearing. And yet, it is through their childbearing that God will redeem all of creation, especially mankind, and the woman who was cursed by sin with sorrow and travail and childbearing, well, God would turn that around so that she's ultimately saved by that very thing that sin made a curse to her. It's like Satan to hate what God has ordained to be a source of blessedness to man. It's like Satan to stir up a woman's heart to doubt God's goodness and to act in defiance against him. And that's the spirit of those who support abortion. It's defiance against the Creator at the end of the day. It's what it is. Abortion is the murder of a baby in the womb, and that is obvious to anyone who will be honest about it. What might not be so obvious is why are the children of disobedience so blindly, so emotionally committed to this heinous and inhumane act? It is because they are under the influence and control of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And now you call and let me know if you see that they are on. Call and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying today. You can call and say lights off if you disagree. And the number to call is 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. So call me at 1-888-770-8000 and leave a message. And our listener response hotline, it's a free call to anyone within the continental United States from outside the country or for those who would prefer it. You can email me by going to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com, all one word, lowercase, or just Google The Brain Massage Show, and you'll find me. Thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll see a place there to signify lights on or lights off, and then a space there to write as long a letter as you want. It's a little small box there, but as you type it, expands. You know how that goes. And send me as long a letter as you like. If you're in a hurry, you can give me a lights on or lights off and then hang up. Or you can click lights on, lights off, and then say send. If you will, however, please leave a message for me. I like to hear feedback from my audience. I like to hear what's on your mind, what you think about these things. It is very helpful to me for all kinds of reasons. I want to hear from you. 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Or thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
It's important to be able to compromise self-interest to serve a higher good. But compromising truth only serves evil. For example, instead of obeying the Lord and coming out of an apostate church, you compromise. And your compromise is killing the church and this nation. Join an Old Path Church. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.